Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast.
What do you see? Come on. What do you see? Quack, quack. How many of you say you see a duck? How many of you see a rabbit? Now, let me ask this question. How many of you, though, can see? I mean, you know what you see first, right? But what I found is if you look to this side first, you see the rabbit. But if you look at this side first, then you can see the duck, right? You can kind of see both sides. It really just depends on where you focus, right? If you focus more on this side, you see the rabbit. If you focus more on this side, you can see the duck. You really just have to change your perspective. And you can see a rabbit or a duck. And some of you are like, what does this have to do with anything? Well, it does. See, there's a great amount of power in perspective. There's a great deal of power in where you choose to focus. And as we wrap up our series on fear, we wrap up our series on being fearless, I want to talk to you today about the power of perspective. And what I want to argue today is by simply changing your perspective, by simply adjusting your focus, you can begin to live fearless. You can find the freedom to try those things you've never wanted to try before, to take the leaps, to take the risks, and to become the man or the woman that the God of the universe wants you to be simply by changing your perspective, by changing where you focus. Some of you are looking at me like, come on now. But we'll get there. I promise you. It's true. And it's exactly what we've been talking about this entire series. We've been talking about fear. We've been talking about how dangerous fear is. We've been talking about why we want to avoid fear. Week one, we talked about how dangerous fear was because fear tries to separate us from God. It tries to keep us from doing what God wants to do. We talked about how when fear rises, faith falls. And many of you have experienced that. There have been times in your life, there have been things you wanted to do, there have been steps you wanted to take, but you were afraid to do it. You didn't have the confidence to do it because of fear. And so last week we talked about the plan, God's plan, to overcome fear. And it's a very simple plan. It involves a relationship with him, it involves talking to him, and it involves telling him what you need and thanking him for what he's done. We go to God and we thank him for what he's done and we tell him what we need. And when we do that, as we learned last week, we will begin to experience God's peace. His peace will protect us and his peace will begin to help us. And it really just comes down to what we're going to choose. Are we going to choose fear or are we going to choose faith? And for the vast majority of us, that decision comes down to our perspective. It simply comes down to how we look at it. So what I want to do is I want to pick up exactly where we left off last week. If you were here last week, we looked at a guy named Paul. Paul wrote about half of what we call our New Testament. And Paul is a guy we talk a lot about here at Wellspring because he wrote a lot of what we talk about. See, Paul was a pastor. He was an early church leader. And Paul would write letters to churches to give them instructions and to tell them how to live. And he would write letters to his friends. And what we believe is that the God of the universe was speaking through Paul when he wrote those letters. So almost 2,000 years later, we can read those letters. And we know exactly what God wants us to do in our life. And specifically in a letter Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he talks about how to overcome fear. And if you're here last week, that's where we were. We were in Philippians chapter 4. We read verses 6 and 7. And today we're going to pick up right at verse 8. Because Paul's not quite done. Yes, he gave us the plan, but then he's also going to talk to us about the power of perspective. Because it's our perspective that's going to make the plan work. So if you have your Bibles, you can open it to Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 8, this is what Paul says. Paul says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing." I hope you guys know, when the preacher says one final thing, he does not mean he's wrapping up. That is not the way it works. But Paul says, okay, and now, one final thing. Now, before I tell you the final thing, I want to go back because some of you may have missed last week. So I want to read to you what Paul said last week. Last week, Paul says, don't worry about anything. Don't fear anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. That's the plan. Have a conversation with God. Tell him what you need. Thank him for what he's done. And when we do, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's the plan. And Paul says, okay, now that you know the plan, I have one final thing. I have something to add that's going to make the plan work. I have something that you have to keep in mind. I have something that you have to do if you want to live fearless, if you want to be free to take the steps, to take the risks, to obey God like he wants you to. If you want to experience the life he's created you to have, Paul says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Some of you are like, I did not know my thoughts were broken. They are. Ask your spouse, are my thoughts broken? Don't answer that question, honestly, men. Don't you answer it. Just say, I love you and you're beautiful. And you look thin today. You're welcome. But no, Paul's saying, look, you want to live fearless? You want this to work? All right. One final thing, fix your thoughts. Now, he's not really saying your thoughts are broken, even though they are. What he's really saying is, he's saying, set your mind on certain things. Take into account certain things. When fear arises, when trouble comes up, when you're afraid, before you move, I want you to pause, and I want you to fix your thoughts. Another way to put it is, I want you to change your perspective. I want you to change your focus if you really want to live fearless. That's what he's trying to say. Fix your thoughts on what? Paul says. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. He's saying, hey, before you take a step, before you do anything, hold on. Fix your thoughts on what is true. I could preach an entire sermon just on the lies we all believe. The lies we've been told, the lies that exist in us about how we're not good enough, how we're not smart enough, how God could never use us, God could never forgive us, God could never love us, God is mad at me, God doesn't want me here. All lies. And what Paul's saying is, you got to fix your mind, you got to fix your thoughts on truth. You have to fix your thoughts. You have to focus on what is true, not what is untrue. You have to focus on what is honorable and right and pure, all these things of God. You have to focus on what is lovely. Makes me think of my bride. Focus on what is lovely. Focus on what is admirable. Think of things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's what Paul's trying to say. He's saying, hey, you've got to think about these things. And you may wonder, why does Paul care so much about my thoughts? I'm talking about fear. Why do my thoughts matter? It's because Paul understands the power of perspective. He understands the power that comes from where you focus. Because this entire series is about two things. It's about fear or faith. We're either going to increase our fear and decrease our faith, or we're going to increase our faith and decrease our fear. And what Paul knows is that fear and faith are both powered by focus. They're both powered by where you look. Fear is when you focus on the wrong things. Faith is when you focus on the right things. Faith grows when we fix our thoughts on the things Paul just listed. Fear grows when we fix our thoughts on the things Paul didn't just list. But see, Paul's a great communicator. Paul's brilliant. Paul knows that we get told all the time what we can't do, right? So Paul's focusing on what we can do. Let me explain. Several times in our marriage, my wife Danielle and I have decided to do a fast. If you don't know what a fast is something that they talk about a lot in the Bible, and it's when people set aside time to pray, and they either don't eat at all or they only eat certain foods, and you're supposed to spend that time praying and talking to Jesus. It's a lot like a diet, but you can't be mad about it because it's for Jesus. That's kind of how it works. And so whenever we fast in our house, my wife is in charge because she knows how to do all that stuff and I don't. And so when we fast, she's the boss, and we spend a lot of time saying, okay, what can I eat? And every time we start a fast, she spends a lot of time explaining what I can't eat, what I can't have. And how many of you know when you say you can't eat chocolate cake, all you want is chocolate cake? Right? And so every time we do the fast, there comes a point where I say, look, you cannot tell me anymore what I can't have. I'm done. Tell me what I can eat. That's all I need to know. What can I can eat fruit. I'm going to go eat my body weight in fruit right now. That's what I'm going to eat. And see, you're the same way. Nobody likes to be told what they can't do. So that's why Paul's not saying, hey, don't think about those things. Paul's saying, think about these things. Focus on these things. Fix your thought on these things. Think about whatever is true and honorable and right and pure, admirable, lovely, excellent, worthy of praise. Paul's saying, these things, go crazy. Think about them all day long. Daydream about them. Talk about them with your friends. Doodle about them. Just think about these things, because when you get in the habit of thinking about these things, your perspective is going to change and your faith is going to increase. See, some of you spent all week begging God to increase your faith. And God's saying back to you, you just need to improve your focus. I've given you everything you need to have faith. You're just focusing on all the bad things in your life. You got to focus on the things I've given you. You got to focus on the good things. You got to stop waiting on God to increase your faith, because God's waiting on you to improve your focus and to begin thinking about the things he thinks you should think about, to begin thinking about things that are true and honorable and excellent and worthy of praise. See, it all works together. Paul's written this all together. When we're afraid, when we have fear, when fear is a part of us, we got to pray about it. We got to go to God. We got to tell him what we need. We got to thank him for what he's done. We got to rest in his peace. And then we got to look for his presence. We got to look for it. We got to open our eyes. We got to be alert. We got to change our perspective. We can't look and focus on the things that are wrong. We got to focus on the things God says is right. We got to focus on his truth and what is true and admirable and right and lovely. You have to change your perspective. And some of you are saying, now, come on, that seems a little too simplistic. Let me ask you this question. I would say most, if not everybody in this room, at some point has struggled with fear. Something you wanted to do, you were afraid of how somebody would react or how somebody would feel, or you know, it might not work, I might fail. So let me ask you this question. Right now, what is holding you back from being fearless? What's holding you back right now from taking the step you know you're supposed to take? From having that conversation with your spouse? From talking to your boss about that issue you know you're supposed to talk to? To going over to your neighbor and inviting them to come back with you to church? What is holding you back from being fearless? And as you begin to think about it, I would assume what comes to your mind are things. You would say, well, I'm just not in the right financial situation right now to take that step. Or, man, I've just got some family issues that I can't really resolve. Or I've got some health issues. Or, you know, I've got some work issues. Or you don't really know about my background, Trey. There's some things I've done that I'm not sure I could do that. See, you would list things as what's holding you back from being fearless. But here's why I would disagree. There are other people in this room that have the very same things. But they're doing what you're afraid to do. Because, see, the thing isn't what's holding you back. It's the way you think about the thing. I don't know about you, but I very rarely stop and think about how I'm thinking. That's interesting, don't you think? But think about it. Think about how often you think about what you're thinking. And now think doesn't even sound like a word to you anymore, does it? But we don't. We don't think about what we are thinking. And Paul is saying, look, man, this is going to take some work. This is going to take you putting in some effort here. If you want to be fearless, if you want to be free to become the man or woman God's called you to be, if you want to do those things, you got to fix your thoughts. You got to change your perspective. You got to change your focus onto what is right and true and lovely and admirable. You've got to do those things. You've got to get rid of the untrue things and hold to the true things. Now, I know you have many questions. One of them is probably, well, how do I know the difference? How do I know what's true? How do I know what's not true? How do I get rid of these thoughts? How do I hold on to the right ones? Well, the good thing is Paul answers that question as well. People always like to tell me the Bible's not practical. They're just not reading it right. Because the Bible can solve every problem you've ever had. We're going to leave the book of Philippians very quickly. We're going to move to a different letter, a letter Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul gives us a strategy for fixing our thoughts. And remember, we got to fix our thoughts. We got to change our perspective if we want to live fearless. If you want to become the man and woman God has called you and created you to be. Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. You have thoughts in your mind right now that are set up against the knowledge of God. What Paul is telling you to do is to demolish them. What does that mean? When God says you're one thing and your mind says another, you demolish that thought. You say, I don't think so. That doesn't belong here. How many of you know that you can't always control your thoughts? Like you can't control the thought, oh, come on, quit. You know you can't. You people have some crazy thoughts. Like you have thoughts that when you have them, you look around and you're like, nobody heard me think that, did they? I know you do. You drive on 17 like I do when tourists are here. You have thoughts.
Would anybody know if I just ran these people off the road? I can't believe I just thought that.
Don't be all holy. I don't have that thought. Yes, you do. Sometimes when Danielle and I will travel, one of the things we like to do is listen to podcasts that interest us. And there's a podcast we started listening to that's all about mind and thoughts. And one of the first podcasts, one of the first episodes was all about how universally people have like psycho crazy thoughts. And when I heard it, I was like, oh, I thought I was a crazy person. Oh, I'm so happy. But what most people do when they have crazy thoughts, when they have thoughts they don't like, is they just let it go. Like the song that I'm not going to sing. But we just think I can just let it go. Well, here's the problem with my crazy thoughts. All right? A lot of times when I let them go, they're like a boomerang. They go and they get some friends and they come back stronger. And so what Paul's trying to say is he's saying, no, don't do that. You've got to be more aggressive than that. You've got to set yourself up against those thoughts. Right? He says you've got to demolish arguments, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. How do we do that? Here's what Paul says. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Paul's saying, don't ignore it. Interrogate it. See, the imagery he's using here is that of a prisoner of war. He's saying, when you realize that there are thoughts in your head that don't match up to what God wants you to think, you have to take those thoughts captive. You got to treat them like a prisoner of war, because make no mistake about it, they are there to destroy you. And yes, some of you are wondering,
is he going to talk about the devil right now?
Yes, I am. Because he is very real and he hates your guts. And he really hates you when you start trying to get real about the things of God. When you dare to open yourself up to being fearless, when you dare to open yourself up for God to use you to begin changing other people, oh, Satan gets mad. And he starts whispering in your ear,
you can't do that. Sooner or later, they're going to find out what you did. And then they're going to kick you out of the church.
He says that to me.
as disgusting as you.
He's your enemy. And he hates you. And he's planting thoughts. He's putting things in your mind that are meant to destroy you. And what Paul's saying is, you've got to take it captive. Like if you were at war and an enemy soldier wandered into your camp, you wouldn't say, "Oh, hi there, Mr. Soldier. Do you promise not to hurt me? Okay, have a good day. See ya." No. You tie him up and go Jack Bauer on him. That's what you do. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, we have to take every thought captive. He's saying many of you need to do an imagination interrogation. You need to sort through the thoughts in your mind. You need to hold them up to the truth of these things. Where Paul says, think about whatever is this list. Some of you need to become the bouncer of your brain. And when people come up, you know, you're bouncing. The club's going. It's like, they're having a party in there. And a new thought comes up. You got to say, I'm sorry. You're not on the list. You don't get to come in today. You need to leave. Because you are not true, honorable, right, pure. I don't care who you know. You're not getting in. And then for others, there are thoughts that are already in there. There are thoughts some of you have lived with for years. What Paul would say, take it captive. Hold it up to the light. See if there's any truth to it. You've got to interrogate your imagination if you really want to learn how to fix your thoughts. There's not a one of you in this room that would sit by while someone broke into your house. You would do everything you can to protect it and keep them out. You have to take the same ferocity with your mind. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying you got to fight to keep them out. And when you do find a thought, when you find a thought that's there and it doesn't fit the list, it's not true, it's not honorable, it's not right, it's not pure, it's not admirable, it's not lovely, it's not excellent, it's not worthy of praise. Don't ignore it. Interrogate it. Because you have an enemy in your midst and you might can learn something. So there's three questions I want you to begin asking yourself. When you experience fear, when you aren't sure you can take that step, when the voices are telling you the things, when your mind is racing, I want you to pause and I want you to begin doing an imagination interrogation, and I want you to answer three questions. Question number one, I want you to ask, whose voice is this? Who is the one doing the talking right now? Is this my voice? Is this God's voice? Is this my friend's voice? Is this my mom's voice? Is this my uncle's voice? Is this the enemy's voice? Whose voice is this? Now, how do you recognize the voice? It's very simple. Does it lift you up or does it beat you down? How many of you know the God of the universe? He never beats you down. God does not do negative. He has never once told you you're not good enough. He's never once told you you're not equipped. He's never once told you you're not worthy of this calling. But we all have those thoughts. We all have thoughts of fear and doubt and shame. That's not God's voice. He doesn't speak to you that way. Even when he wants to correct you, which he does often, he corrects in love. He corrects in a way that lifts you up and draws you closer to him. So when there is a voice in your life that is pushing you away from God, that is telling you you can't accomplish the things of God, you don't even have to listen to what it's saying. You can stop and say, whoa, 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 that is not my daddy's voice. That's not him. I don't have to listen to you right now. Some of you ladies in the room, if your ex-boyfriend calls, you don't matter what they said because it's the voice of a liar and you're hanging up the phone. I expected a bigger reaction from the ladies. Maybe he's sitting next to you. in our life and we recognize that's the voice of a liar. You got to learn to recognize the voice of a liar. And it doesn't even matter what they're saying. You know it's a lie. When the voice is in your head, that sounds horrible, doesn't it? Out of context, it sounds like I'm talking to crazy people. When the voices in your head start talking to you, call a doctor. No, I'm just kidding. But when the thoughts are racing, and when they're racing, and when the thoughts are pulling you down, when they're beating you down, when they're making you feel guilt, when they're making you feel shame, you can say right then, this ain't my daddy's voice. But don't ignore it. Interrogate it. Ask it some questions, because you can learn some things. So once you recognize, whose voice is this? If it's God's voice, do it. It's pretty simple. But if it's not, ask it this next question. Not just whose voice is this, but where did you come from? What is the root of this voice? What's the root of this fear? What is the root of this guilt and shame? Maybe there's some things in your life that you need to go make amends for. You need to have some conversations with some people. Maybe there's some things in your life you need to receive God's forgiveness for. Maybe there's some pain or some trauma that you've never talked about with God and you've never opened up to Him and He's never begun that healing process. See, if you ask this question, where did you come from? You can begin to get to the root of some of these problems, and then you can do what Paul says. You can take it to Jesus and Jesus can heal it, because what we reveal, God can heal. See, you can learn a lot when you interrogate these thoughts. You're not my daddy's voice, but why are you here? Where did you come from? Oh, you're from high school. Yeah. You're from that insecurity I had in high school and I never got over. Wow. Jesus, can you help me heal that? And what we reveal, God can heal. And don't you know it? You've started to fix your thoughts. So whose voice is this? Where did you come from? One more question. Where are you going? What is your purpose? What are you trying to stop me from doing? Almost a year ago exactly, I began the process of negotiating on this building. It was, without a doubt, unquestionably, the worst 2 months of my life. That it was awful. I had fear and panic and anxiety over this building like you would never imagine. Is this the right thing to do? Jesus, I'm telling everybody this is the right thing to do. Is this the right thing to do? It sure would be nice if you'd tell me, because for a long time, I was operating under the, all right, Jesus, I'm going to go until you stop me. I'm going. Still going. But please stop me if you want to. I'm very afraid. This is a lot of money. We're supposed to do this. And then one day I was praying. And I was talking to God, and I was just begging. I said, give me some peace. Let me know what's supposed to happen. I was telling God what I needed and thanking Him for what He's done. And He spoke very clearly to me. This doesn't happen a whole lot. And He said, that is your home. And I knew it. And so it then began to make sense to me why I had been so anxious and why I had so much fear. It's because Satan was tipping his hand. Satan was playing his card too early, because he knew God had a plan to use this building to reach Myrtle Beach. And Satan was trying to keep me from it. He was trying to keep me from doing it. Some of you, your greatest fear is going to point you towards God's greatest future for your life. The very things you're afraid of, the very things you don't want to step, those are the things God wants to use to change the world. And Satan is scared out of his mind. So he's trying to terrify you with the very step God wants you to take to change the world. So you got to say, whose voice is this? That's not my daddy's voice. Where did you come from? What's the root of this? What's causing this? How can I get this healed? And then where are you going? What are you trying to keep me from doing? What's your business here? Oh, I get it. You don't want me to invite my friend. Okay, Thanks for telling me. I appreciate that. I'm going to go invite them right now. Oh, I get it. You don't want me to have that painful conversation with my husband, because if I do, Jesus, you're going to come and you're going to begin to move in that process, and you're going to change his heart, and you're going to make our family one that is changing lives in Myrtle Beach. I get it now. That's why you don't want me to do that. Well, I'm about to go have that conversation right now. Oh, I get it. You don't want me to have a conversation with my boss, because the boss is waiting to hear exactly what I'm trying to hear him say, and then the workplace is going to change and it's going to be fantastic. I get it now. What is your enemy trying to keep you from doing? You'll never know until you begin to fix your thoughts. And so you determine, I'm only going to focus on what is true, and what is honorable, and what is right, and what is pure, and what is lovely, and what is admirable, and what is worthy of praise. Because once I do that, then I'm going to be able to know I have the grid. So it's easier for me to say, oh, you don't belong. I know why you're here. And as you focus on those things, your faith is going to grow. And your fear is going to be pushed out. Because you better know and understand the voice of your heavenly Father. That's the plan. That's exactly what God is calling you to do. And some of you say, I don't know what his voice sounds like yet. I'm not sure I could do that. Guess what? None of us do. That's why we're all here together. Because it's a lifelong journey of falling in love more and more with Jesus. And learning better and better what his voice sounds like. Learning better and better how to focus on these things. How to think about whatever is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and excellent and worthy of praise. So here's how Paul ends it. We're going to go back to Philippians. Here's how Paul ends it, because he knows you're like, whoa, really? That's it? What next? Here's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. He says, keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Everything you've heard from me and everything you saw me doing, just keep it up. Just keep going. Just keep trying. Just keep praying. Just keep listening. Just keep asking. Just keep on doing what I've taught you to do. Keep praying. Keep talking to God and telling him what you need. Keep thanking him for what he has done. Keep fixing your thoughts, focusing on what is right, changing your perspective. So when a situation comes to you, you don't see what's wrong with the situation. You see what God says is right with the situation. And you say, whoa, that would have scared me before, but my Jesus is in charge. So I'm going to take his perspective, and he's true, and he's good, and he's honorable, and I know he's going to protect me. So we're going to go through this together. You just keep it up. You just keep practicing. You just keep doing it. And I want you to see what Paul says will happen when you keep putting these things into practice. When you do, then the God of peace will be with you. So if you're here last week, we got the peace of God, which is great. But now Paul says, you know what? You're going to get the whole thing. You're not just going to get the peace of God. You're going to get the God of peace. The whole thing you'll get. The whole thing, he will walk with you. He'll be with you. And he can move through you to change the world around you. And you can live a life you never imagined possible. You just have to fix your thoughts. And we try to make that very easy for you at Wellspring. Every Sunday morning at 9:15 and 11 o'clock, we have a service for thought fixing. That's why it's designed. And you don't fix your thoughts while I'm teaching. At the very beginning of our service, we have 20 or 25 minutes of thought fixing time. Of sitting before God, standing before God, hands raised, singing truth. You cannot sing the words, I am no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. You cannot sing those words without God beginning to fix your thoughts. That's why we do it. Every single week, you get the opportunity to come, to be in this place, to refocus and reset every single week. Now, please hear me, because somebody's going to blog about this. Please hear me. We want you to take this and make it a daily thing. I want you to read your Bibles for yourself. But I'm telling you, why would you ever give up once a week? Once a week. It's 1 hour, and we make it super simple. We literally tell you where to park. We take care of your beautiful children. We give you coffee. We give you very comfortable seats to sit in. We always get out on time. It is super simple, and it is provided for you 1 hour a week to fix your thoughts. 1 hour a week to allow the God of the universe to refocus you on the good and on what is right in your life so that you are equipped to go out and live fearlessly. See, I tell you all that because this series is done. After today, we're moving on to another topic. But my prayer is that this concept will change your behavior. That it'll change the way you act. It'll change the way you think about Sundays. It'll change the way you think about your encounters with God. They aren't just places for you to come and get touchy-feely, feel-good moments. They are times for the God of the universe to fix your thoughts, to refocus your mind, and to change your perspective so that you can see the things the way He sees those things, so that you can accomplish what He wants you to accomplish, so that you can live fearless. That is what the God of the universe offers you every single Sunday. So the way we wanted to end today was to kind of give you a preview. To kind of let you do that now that you know the purpose. It's not just so that we can sing some songs and make it really loud in here, although that's fun. It's not just to have a really cool light show, even though that is awesome. It is our service to you. It is a gift of refocus. It is a gift of a time for you to stand before the God of the universe and allow Him to fix your thoughts. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing the song we started with. And as you sing these words, as you declare them out loud, as you declare them to God, allow Him to make them real in your minds. Allow Him to fix your thoughts, to change your perspective, so that you can walk out of here not just encouraged, so that you can walk out of here not just feeling good, but that you can walk out of here changed, that you can walk out of here positioned to change the world. And it all comes down to fixing your thoughts. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're going to continue to do. We ask you right now, Lord, to sit with us and fix our thoughts. Keep us focused on you. Fill our hearts, fill our minds with your truth, Father. Lord, we know that sometimes our fear comes from an anxious heart. Other times our fear comes from an unfocused mind. Father, refocus us today. And Father, may you refocus us today in such a way where we don't dare want to miss. Bring us back next week and the next week so we have these opportunities to sit before you, to have our hearts and minds refocused on who you say we are and on your truth so that we're better able to identify the lies of the enemy. Give us wisdom, give us grace, give us power. Father, set us free to live fearless. Set us free to live the life you want us to live. It's in your Son's amazing name we pray.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.